Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita sports broadcaster Mike Kennedy. Welcome to Issues 2025, Mike.
Pleasure to be here. Thank
you. And it seems so weird to see you talking on a microphone, although we've done it together a few times. Now this week, many of us are remembering the tragic Wichita State football plane crash 55 years ago this week, October 2nd, 1970. It's fried in my head. Had you started your broadcasting career at that time?
Well, sort of. I was doing stuff at the campus station, KMUW, so that was the beginning of what turned into a broadcasting career. I wasn't a professional yet, but definitely doing the work, yes.
So what are your memories of that day?
You know, it's really almost like it was yesterday. That's one of those events that just never leaves you of exactly what it felt like. And I had gotten to know some of the people that did stuff at KMUW. We kind of enjoyed hanging out together, and we were just all hanging out on a Friday afternoon at the radio station. And you know how you'd go back to old wire machines in those days and tear off paper, you know, at times, yeah, and hang up stuff you thought might be useful, a newscast or whatever. And one of the guys came down and said, "You're not going to believe this." And there was a story about a Wichita State plane crashing in Colorado. And it was kind of weird. I don't know where you were or what you might remember, but the very first story we got, then it immediately said, "Don't use this. It's embargoed. It shouldn't have been released yet. We're still gathering details." And then for the next half hour, there were varying versions of it, that everybody was killed, and then there were a number of people seen walking down the mountain. And finally, after a while, you kind of got the accurate report of just how serious it
had been. Yeah, I was at my first job at KWBB, and I was not in the newsroom. Chuck Schechter was, and he said, "Go out to the university and get an interview," and I did. And
yeah, they sent me over to the administration building to see if they had any information about which we knew there were two planes, but which plane, who was on that plane, any of that kind of stuff, which they didn't right away. Mm. The other thing I'll never forget was it was an absolutely gorgeous, perfect afternoon, a Friday afternoon. And on Wichita State's campus on a Friday afternoon, there was just nobody there. So I'm walking across the campus and I'm thinking how weird this is, surreal. There's this quiet, beautiful scenario and this terrible thing's going on. And what I've always read and heard, it was a very similar day in Colorado, just an absolutely gorgeous day that afternoon.
When you began doing play-by-play, did you do Shocker football?
I did for the last 7 years that they had a football program.
Okay. I would ask you about that in a minute or two here, but some folks still dream of the return of Shocker football. Is that just a dream by now?
Yes.
It's pretty well gone.
Financially, it just doesn't make any sense. And you know, various presidents and so forth, Dr. John Bardo really, really wanted to see if it was possible to bring it back. He loved Shocker football, and it just, every study that's ever been done just showed that it just didn't make any sense.
Do you, now you grew up in Wichita.
Yes.
What was your childhood like?
Kind of the Leave It to Beaver, Donna Reed show, you know. I mean, we were kind of middle class family. Two parents. I had a sister that was 2 years younger, and you know, we certainly didn't have a lot, but never really wanted for anything important. And you know, I think we were pretty typical of the maybe the most average type of kids that grew up in that era.
What schools did you go to then?
I started out at Allen Elementary, and then as I was going into the fifth grade, they had finished building Griffith Elementary, which is over there kind of at the side of what was then Clapp Park Golf Course.
Yeah.
And I finished fifth and sixth grade there and then went to Meade and Southeast. And Meade at the time broke off into three different schools. Some of the kids went to South, some to East, and some to Southeast. So.
Okay, so let's take it ahead a few years and tell me how you got into broadcasting.
I was at Wichita State. I kind of have to go back because I always kind of had a sense of a relationship between radio and sports. I got a crystal set radio the same Christmas that I got my first basketball goal in basketball, and the two just sort of always synced up for me. And I used to go out in the yard and play full games by myself of various sports and do play-by-play out loud. And my mother was understanding enough that her child might have something wrong with him, but let me do it.
The neighbors thought you were gone, man.
So I always kind of had that thought in the back of my mind. But by the time I got to college, I was majoring in vocal music. I knew I wasn't going to have an athletic career. And one day I was in a meeting with one of the instructors who I knew. His son was in my graduating class in high school, and I had known him before. And I said something about, you know, with all due respect for teachers, I just don't think I want to be a teacher, which was where I was heading with that curriculum. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And I mentioned the sports broadcasting thing. And he gave me the most simple advice, but the one I needed somebody to say, and that was, well, you aren't going to know unless you go try it. And so I went over to KMUW, the campus radio station, took a class, and back then the students did a lot of the on-air stuff. It was a 250-watt station, not a lot of power. They didn't have all the NPR grants and programming, and so I got to do a lot of stuff and just fell in love with it.
And what was your first job? It wasn't here, was it?
No, it was in Chanute.
Oh, okay.
And interestingly enough, I was playing softball with a guy that summer who was several years older than I was, but he had gone to KU, and he knew I was looking for a job. And Monty Johnson had been a fraternity brother of his at KU, and he had just come to town to work for Bank 4, but he had been an assistant AD at Kansas and had worked with their broadcast network, and said, I'll give him a call. So he called him, and he said, well, the last I knew, Dale McCoy down in Chanute was looking for a play-by-play guy. He had sent the guy that was doing that over to a station he just bought in El Dorado to be the general manager there. So I called, and he said, yeah, we're still looking. Send us a tape. Well, the tape I put together was a Wichita State football game. It was that second season after the crash that they had started back up.
Yeah.
And Don Gilley ran a kickoff back 108 yards for a touchdown. And that was on the tape. And he had been at that game. He'd been at a KAB convention in Wichita. And they'd gone to the game. So he had seen it and remembered it. And that got me my first job.
And then from there, where did you go?
Pittsburgh for about two and a half years.
I was going to say, I thought you said Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I did Pittsburgh State. And then the next thing I was looking for was to get into minor league baseball. That was kind of, and there was an opening with the Arrows that I was able to get. So I ended up back here and, you know, hadn't necessarily planned on coming back to Wichita, but just that was the next opportunity.
Did you do the Arrows?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did the Arrows off and on, 76, 7, 80, and 84, kind of mixed in at times with the other stuff I was doing. And that very first year, Cake Radio and TV had taken over. They were taking over the Wichita State contract because Wichita State was looking to get more games on TV. And they came to me and said, would you be interested in coming to work for us? I came to them doing weekend. I anchored the sports on the weekend and did some reporting during the week and did the games on radio that they did on TV, and that's how I got the initial connection with Wichita State.
Was baseball always your favorite sport?
You know, I've always said that if I could only choose one, if I had to choose one, that would be it. But the caveat to that for me is I don't think there's anything more exciting than a great college basketball game, you know, for a one event type thing. Brett Chemnitz, my friends, always said there's nothing uglier than ugly baseball, and there'll be those nights when everybody's walking the world and it could last 3.5 or 4 hours and it's not quite so fun. But yeah, if I had to pick one, I've always said baseball would be it.
But the basketball season is here, pretty much, for what you're
talking about. Earlier than ever these days, yeah.
And what does that mean to you and your color man, Dave Dahl? How long have you guys been doing this now?
This will be 46 years. And then Bob Hull, who does the games with me on the road, this will be his 18th season. So, yeah, it's been a long relationship.
A combination like that, team, how's that stack up? Do you know? Does anybody have? I mean, is there anybody longer than that?
Brian Holmgren, when he was the SID at Wichita State, was curious, so he did some research and calling around. There are a handful of guys who have done play-by-play longer at their particular school than I have. There are two guys in Pittsburgh that do Pittsburgh and I think it's Duquesne that have both done over 50 years with those schools. But Dave and I became the longest-running pair a year or two ago. We've been doing it together for the same school longer than anybody has.
So how did you find Dave, or did Dave find you?
You know, I had gotten to know Ron Heller, who was doing the games with Bill Land when I was doing some of the games, and that's who I wanted to have continue when I became the guy. But the athletic director at the time, Ted Bradyhoff, wanted to make a change, and so I just started kind of asking around, and several people mentioned Dave's name. And I had met Dave. I knew who he was. I didn't really know him. And so we decided, okay, well, he was interested. So we took a tape recorder, an old cassette recorder, went out to a public scrimmage that Wichita State played and did the practice broadcast, and it just clicked. I mean, you know, radio has to be a thing where the color guy, the analyst, has to kind of get in and out quickly because people can't see what's going on. And he just had a knack for that right from the beginning. It was like we'd worked together for a long time, and so that's
in broadcasting, I know you've seen this. The management will say, well, we'll put this person with this person. They'll have chemistry. You can't do it.
No.
It has to come naturally.
Yeah, and I've been fortunate. I've worked with several people over the years who, you know, it's worked out. Now, I also believe I was kind of clued into this many years ago. Bill Land had a chance to interview Al McGuire. He came to town for some kind of an event, and he had just started doing that three-man thing with Dick Enberg and Billy Packer. And Bill asked him about that, and he said, "Well, it's all Dick. Dick is really good about letting everybody know what he's looking for from us." And you know, and I found over time, I also ran into somebody one time who was doing color on a network broadcast where he's working with different play-by-play guys, and he said, some guys are really helpful with what they want from you, and others don't, and I don't know where I... So I kind of learned that you kind of establish up front, this is what I need from you, this is what I can see, this is what I can't, and so I think part of that is making that clear up front, how you want the whole thing to work.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Wichita sports broadcaster Mike Kennedy. So, Mike, what kind of basketball season will the Shockers have this year?
You know, people ask me that now, and it is so different. It used to be any given year you'd go in and you know, okay, we've got these guys coming back from last season, and we know how good they are, and so this could be a pretty good year. Now it's different every year. It's a new team every season, practically. I think this group looks pretty good. I think this team has a chance to be pretty good. I think this is a really good coaching staff, Paul Mills and his staff. But it's all new, and you don't really know until you get them out there and play against somebody else.
It just all, you know, it have to do with name, image, and likeness, or is that – Just part of it.
Oh, no. That and the transfer portal, when they created this transfer portal, it used to be if you transferred, you had to sit out a year. Now you can just transfer as many times as you want and wherever and be eligible right away. So that's part of it, too. But the NIL has just totally changed things. And for a Wichita State, they've made I think, major strides in being part of that, but it's not even close there to what it is that, you know, Kay, you just had David Booth give him $300 million just for athletics, just so, you know, it's certainly not a by any means a level playing field. I mean, they should be able to go out and get any student athlete they want. So that's it's a crazy situation.
Well, and look, from a fan standpoint, I look at it and say, well, if I can't follow the team year to year and the players, I'm not a fan anymore.
I hear that, certainly.
Of course, somebody at the NCAA knows more than I do.
Here at Wichita, being the kind of community it is, you know, people really enjoy opportunities to get to know the players and to kind of develop some relationships, and it's just harder to do that. That's one of the things that I've really come to appreciate over time is getting to know these young men and women and kind of developing some relationship. But when they're here a year and gone, that's just harder to do, and it's not the same as it used to be.
Before I get out of here today, one of the questions I had, one of the things I wanted to say to you was that thank you for obtaining for me a treasure, an autographed photo of Dave Stallworth.
Oh, wow.
I followed him for all his career, and then when he went to the NBA, I mean, that's what sports is about.
And, you know,
following these guys.
One of the things that's really been enjoyable for me in this, what I do, is I've gotten to know some of those people over the years, Dave Stallworth, Linwood Sexton, Cleo Littleton, Don Locke, and all of them have always just been great to me and really great people. And so to get to sit with them and have them tell stories about, you know, when they played and all that kind of stuff, that kind of stuff, I just absolutely love it. Dave was one of the best, nicest people I've ever been around.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Well, I say he's number one for me as Shockers, and the other is the young man, I can't think of his name right now, who plays in the NBA right now. Who am I thinking of?
Fred VanVleet.
Fred. Well, a guy could see the floor better than anybody I have seen.
I truly believe Dave Stallworth is maybe the least remembered really, really great player that we have ever seen. He was up there with Oscar Robertson and Elgin Baylor and those guys, but yep. He didn't have pro career that they did. But he had that heart situation missed some time. Otherwise, I'm as a college player, there's no doubt he was one of the greatest ever.
We've got to hurry along here. What do you think was a high point in your career so far?
Well, you know, Wichita State won the College World Series in 1989, and I don't know that you can have a bigger situation than winning a national championship in college sports. And that team went through a lot with injuries and stuff at the end of the year, so it was a little bit of an improbable outcome. And so I usually have to rate that number one. Going to the Final Four in 2013, because things in college athletics had reached a point where you kind of wondered if that was ever going to be possible for a Wichita State. And so that's obviously right up there. And then there have been, you know, just a lot of little moments just that are special to me because of the situation or the people involved that weren't as big as those in terms of historic.
When you were a youngster, who were your favorite sports stars?
Duke Snyder was my...
You were a Dodger fan.
Oh, yeah.
I never understood this, but you
were
a Dodger fan.
Well, back then, I think it was that they were... The Dodgers and the Yankees were in the World Series. There was a stretch of 5 years there in the 50s where they were in four of them.
Sure.
And so around me, everybody was either a Dodger or a Yankee fan. When we'd get together and play, there was one Cardinal fan that was Stan Musial when we played, and there was a Reds fan. But it was primarily Dodgers and Yankees, and it was Mickey Mantle and Duke Snyder. And there was a connection in my family. A couple of my uncles had actually gotten to meet him and spend a little time with him when the Dodgers were in St. Louis. They brought me an autographed scorecard when I was like 8 years old. So there was that. Bob Pettit with the Hawks was my first basketball hero.
Sure.
People won't remember the name Harlan Hill, but he was a great receiver for 3 or 4 years
with
the Bears in the 50s, and then had a bunch of injuries. So after that, it was Mike Ditka as a player. And Sandy Koufax, after Duke Snyder kind of faded. But those were some from back in that era.
Of course, we're basically the same age, and growing up at that time, baseball was king.
Yeah.
And professional boxing was very big.
Yeah, I remember watching like the Friday night fights.
Yeah.
And I can tell, you know, some of those names, Carmen Basilio and Sugar Ray Robinson and, you know, those guys.
Gene Fulmer.
Yeah, Gene Fulmer, which you'd see on Friday nights on the fights. Floyd Patterson.
Yeah. You have any favorite broadcasters over the years?
You know, it was when I was growing up, the one guy I heard the most was Harry Carey, who certainly was colorful. And,
yes.
And he was, a couple of my uncles were Cardinals fans, and they listened to Harry all the time. You know, the Kansas City A's were the closest team to us, and I'd listen to them once in a while. Monty Moore was the main guy doing their games back then, but I never became an A's fan or listened that much. And then once I got out to where I was exposed to other broadcasters, and I never really got to hear Vin Scully very much until XM, Sirius XM came along later in my life, and he'd be on national broadcasts sometimes. And Jack Buck, the longtime Cardinal broadcaster, I've always felt like was one of the very best, and I always enjoyed listening to him.
Locally, anybody?
I don't know if people remember the name Rick Weaver.
Rick Weaver was doing the
Shockers when I first started listening, and he was really good.
Really good, yeah.
And he went on to do a couple of things. He did the Angels, I think, for a little bit, but longtime Miami Dolphins play-by-play guy. And, Gus Greeby was doing the Shockers for a while, like when I was a student. And I got to know Gus later in life, and just a nice, nice man. Really enjoyed that relationship that I got to have with him later. Those, you know, I remember the local TV guys, Jack Munley and Webb Smith and some of those. Those were the guys.
I started in radio at KWBB. Jack Munley was doing the arrows and working there.
Yeah.
So I got to see him every day, every morning. So we talk about what's the most important part of getting ready for a broadcast? Preparation. Talk about that, because I know you and I know what it takes.
Well, I've always, tried to have all of the statistics and those kinds of things, at hand, because people are interested in those. And then I've always tried to approach it like, what stuff do I find interesting beyond just the cold statistics? And in virtually all sports, it's, they're long seasons, they play a lot of games. So there are going to be trends. A guy may hit 300, but he may not be hitting that this month. He may be way below that. So you kind of look for what are the current trends and streaks and who might be playing better than what his stats would indicate. And then stuff like background, are they somebody famous's son all those kinds of things. So I kind of look for all of that stuff with both teams, certainly with Wichita State. That kind of becomes second knowledge, as soon as I start researching. But every team they play, I try to do that kind of preparation.
What is it about radio that guys like you and me get in there and stay in there?
A couple of things for me. I like the challenge of describing every play. That's just a whole different thing. That really, if you do TV, and I've done enough TV, that's really kind of the color man or analyst deal. You kind of let them carry it because people can see what's happening. You kind of identify, who's got the ball, just names and maybe throw in a stat once in a while. But with radio, you're describing it, and the best compliment you can possibly have when you do radio play-by-play is I can close my eyes and picture it like I was right there watching, And then the other thing, with radio, doing a particular team or school, no matter what happens at the end of the year, you're with them. You stay with them through the NCAA tournament or the College World Series or whatever it may be. If you're at Cake TV and you do the Shocker games through that season, once they get to the NCAA, that's on whatever network. And you're done. You don't get to be part of those games. And I always thought that would just be awful to get to the end of a great year and then not be involved in it.
You have any thoughts about retiring?
It's something that I didn't think I would ever look at, and I have started to think about it. In fact, right now, I'll make the commitment that I'm in for this year with the Shockers. And beyond that, I'm just not willing to make any bold statements.
All right, so the kids today any different? The athletes? They seem to be a lot bigger and more physically.
Yeah. All the trends you hear about with our society, kids are kids. Social media has changed a lot of stuff. It's just like one of the things I think is kind of sad about all of this NIL stuff, for instance, K-State had a basketball player last year, a transfer from Illinois that was getting over two.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
$2 million. And he came into a post game, and he had just an okay year. He averaged like 12 points and 8 rebounds. He was a good player, but not what you would expect for $2 million. And after one of their games, they lost to somebody, and he came into the post-game news conference with his, he'd been on his phone reading what was being said about him on social media and upset about it. And, you know, these kids I don't think are really geared to handle it like professionals, which basically they are, you know, and people look at them that way and have expectations like that, and they haven't been emotionally trained to handle that kind of stuff. So
We're out of time. Thanks. Thanks for doing this.
Sure, glad to.
Our guest, Wichita sports broadcaster Mike Kennedy, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2025. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.